Okay, let's take your phone calls this hour now with Colin Andrews as we talk about crop formations right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Colin Andrews. Colin, before we go and take calls here, you were talking about that. Was he a government employee again?
Former, George. He's former FBI anti-terrorist agent. His name is Alan Huimet. He's a friend of my wife, Cynthia, and I. And he was very skeptical about the 2012 prophecy. You know, it gave us a hard time, actually, as we were writing the book. But eventually, of course, the book was written and published, now 2 years, I believe, ago. And he purchased a copy, and we got a phone call. Colin, I need to have dinner. So we went to dinner, and he had not only read it, but and saw the sources and got the information, but he did a chart. He's a master astrologer. He's a member of the American Society of Astrologers, and he said it's absolutely shocking. The chart for 2012, December 2012, is extraordinary. And I, of course, we had dinner, and we've had a number of others since looking at this. He's written at my request a full article about it with all of the details, which, again, I've got on my website. That's colinandrews.net for anybody who wants to have a look at it. And it is shocking. He wondered, in fact, how he could actually put it into print without frightening everybody. And it really, the primary pieces that were so concerning, are so concerning, are the political and religious conflicts that the chart brings up. It actually brings up a very rare finger of God alignment. Anybody into astrology will know this. It's a very rare finger of God alignment, which is right there on the nose for 21 December 2012. It's absolutely incredible. He has highlighted two countries that come out of this chart really badly, Israel and Iran. And this is several years ago, remember, and it highlights a nuclear situation. Now, of course, in me speaking now, people will be, well, oh, my God, you know, this is scary. Yeah, yes, it is scary if you look only at that window. We spoke about this, you know, so what in this could we talk about to give people hope? I mean, where should we be placing ourselves? What should we be doing with our concerns? Now, there are certain birth signs that come out of that same period really very well. So it's as if society kind of leans over in the direction of other birth signs to look for the guidance and for the help and the assurance and hopefully for the right decisions. So if anybody wants to look at that, I raised it because that's really what the Mayans were doing. They were looking at the astrology and astronomy. Alan has looked at the astrology and in the modern way. And indeed, he took his findings to the American Society of Astrologers, and they put it through their National Congress, and they too confirmed that, yes, that's absolutely amazing and very concerning. So again, very consistent. The 2012 is it. It's the bottom of the end of a cycle, but a wonderful transition is what we've got to make it into the future.
Perfect. Perfect. So don't have to worry about the planet collapsing on us or anything.
I don't think so. It isn't anything that says it's finished. It's saying another way.
All right, let's go to some of the calls. East of the Rockies, we've got Chip in Omaha, Nebraska. Chip, you're on with Colin Andrews.
Good morning, gentlemen. My pleasure to be the first caller. Say, Colin, I read a book a while back called The Gift by Doug Ruby, where if you take some of the designs of the crop circles, turn them into a 3D and spin them, they might perhaps represent moving parts of a larger machinery. I'm wondering what kind of visibility you put in that. And then I have a quick follow-up question, if I may.
Hi, Chip. Yes, I read and indeed had discussions with Doug, who is an airline pilot, you might know, who got very pulled into the subject, like many people do, and had this thought that perhaps to spin them would give us an additional tier of information. Well, they certainly do present us with different patterns. It's kind of you suddenly look at converting 2D into a multidimensional form. I personally have to say that it is limited for new information as I read it. So I don't feel that it has kind of taken us too much further forward. That would be my brief answer, Chip, to the gift by Doug.
Well, thank you. There was also, I remember reading about a crop circle. I'm thinking it was called the Arecibo Circle. It was around maybe a radio telescope in England, where it relayed a whole bunch of information, even including the fact that life could also be silicone-based there down at the end. What do you think about that one?
Well, I spent a lot of time on that, indeed interviewing the people at the radio telescope there at Chilbolton, is where you're referring to.
Yeah.
It's just 3 or 4 miles from my old home in Andover in Hampshire. The bad news here on that particular design is that it was noted from the air and from a number of observations that I've investigated to have been created in a number of phases, and I could fairly confidently, although I will not do so on the air, place names against the individuals that almost certainly manufactured it. I think that's probably where I would rest my conversation on that. There was no question that if we take out of the equation, is it real versus is it hoax, with regard to the actual information, it was very interesting. But it, for me, the fact that unfortunately the skullduggery aspect of it has limited how much further I went with that particular design.
A couple of years ago, there was a strange story of policemen who witnessed 3 tall beings next to a Mayan design. Want to get into that again, a little more specific for me? What was
Yes. it? Yes, George. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
A very interesting case. One that I am very close to the ongoing research with the investigation with that police officer, but I bow to a colleague of mine, Andy Russell, in England, who is, for reasons that we don't need to go into, the only person that the police officer, who is a police sergeant in Wiltshire Police Force, is actually prepared to lay everything down. This is a very difficult situation for him. This is a police officer who, over a number of years with Wiltshire Police, in one of their larger police stations, has been responsible through his veracity and the confidence in his statements to have people locked up in prison. So this is a guy who has been listened to and is taken as a truthful individual. Well, here he is on this normal end of shift, driving home to his home in near Marlborough, a town very close to Silbury Hill, that large man-made pyramidal mound, earth mound, in the county of Wiltshire. And as he was approaching the mound on his left-hand side, he could see at first light, this is around about 5 o'clock in the morning, 3 very tall beings. He thought people at a distance, but all wearing white, a very, very distinctive brightness that kind of cut into the very early light, just getting light. And he stopped his vehicle and looked through the field. I flew there and witnessed the exact position that this guy and all that he saw. So I've been to the spot where this man, this police officer, saw this. And what he was looking at were these 3 tall beings, well in excess of 6'5", near 7 feet tall, maybe a little more. It's possible. It was difficult to ascertain with accuracy because their feet didn't appear to be on the ground. They were slightly above it. And they ignored his shouts as to what they were doing. What he was observing during this time, when they seemed to be oblivious to him, stood there looking at them. And one of them held a wand-like object in his hand and was waving it over the surface of the plants. Now, this position was within just feet of a Mayan, and we come back to that word again, a Mayan headdress crop design. It was in the field, and this police officer was aware of it being there. All of the police in that area are aware of where these things are because of the public problem that it presents for them as a policing authority. And they were oblivious to him. It was like they were carrying on and appeared to be testing or looking at the plants around this crop design. And suddenly he noticed that the plants were oscillating in a circular area around the three of them, not individually, but the group of them, or some feet apart. And this energy field suddenly moved across the field at him when they did notice him. They turned as if they were tied together in a synchronous movement. All three of them turned at the same time and speed to him, and the energy field, the rippling effect, moved across the plants to him as if they had created that with their attention on him. And what he said was that he had an immediate headache, severe headache, the moment that effect reached him, had it for the rest of the day. And they then looked back towards the design on the top of the hill that they were on. And he said that they ran with a weird, large, leaping, leopard-like strides in the opposite direction to him, but they faded away. Well, that's a fairly unusual description. We have these tall blondes coming through the literature, the UFO literature, over a number of years. They had white outfits with hoods that were laying down on the back of their neck, a long blonde hair. They looked identical to one another. And what is kind of a repeating strangeness to that description of fading was that some weeks later, his wife woke up in the middle of the night. They were asleep together and screaming. And he woke up and immediately saw at the end of the bed three tall beings in their house in the middle of the night. And he said that he reached out in immediate reaction was to protect his wife. She was screaming and thought that they were interfering with her. And they began to fade away. And it took, he says, about a minute for the luminosity of their bodies to completely dissipate, to completely fade, like you see in a dark room when you turn the television off. There is that discharge and that slow fading of the tube. That's very much what happened. Well, analysis that Andy Russell has been undertaking, he's gone through one complete process of analysis of the fibers of the carpet where these guys stood, and there's more work to be done, other laboratories are looking at it, to find that the fibers of the carpet weren't burnt, but they were scorched, and that there's a content in each of the placements of these beings of mercury. Now, again, that's unusual. I can't speak to what processes could have been involved for that to be so, but there is ongoing research. And I think I'll just to terminate this particular instance, which I think is important, to say that there seems to have been a situation here where the police officer, and this is using his own description, his own thoughts, took home with him from that experience something else. Something went home with him because he's now having paranormal experiences in and around his home apart from seeing them during the middle of the night. Gee, there are taps at the door when there is nobody there. There are lights and orbs over and around the house, outside and inside, and on and on. But there is, I think, this is what I was told I could say tonight on this subject. I checked out other details today and yesterday, and I am now told that whilst the Wiltshire police have made an official statement that they're not going to get involved, that this is a private matter for the policeman, there is now a television documentary that will include an official on-camera statement from this police officer in the future. So it's something we're going to learn something of. But to end this piece, George, I would like to say that this is the dilemma that many more of us might be finding ourselves in. It is where authority in our society are confronted by the very things that many have reported over many years. And here's a situation where that same policeman, that same police station, were involved in dispatching an armed unit of policemen just 7 days between the event that I've just been talking about and that same police force, when a farmer, allegedly, I have to use that word, fired a loaded shotgun over the heads of crop circle researchers entering a field. And you probably covered this on the program.
We did.
Well, this is an extraordinary situation where that same police force make a statement that all crop circles are hoaxes. The National Farmers Union, that same week, in trying to calm things down in Great Britain, to lessen the charge that was rising with the subject, the farmers getting fed up with the public attending, the researchers there. Then we've got farmers firing guns over the heads of the researchers entering the field. In trying to calm this, the National Farmers Union made a statement that we know they're all hoaxes. The farmers are trying to make a living. You know, please give them a break. And then we have 7 days between that event and the same policeman now telling his colleagues he saw three extraterrestrials. I mean, this is where we are. This is where we are, and we are indeed moving into a new period here.
Yep. And it changed his life, didn't it?
Changed his life. This man, his life has been changed, and there's more to be said about that in the coming months.
Let's go to Frenchie in Anchorage, Alaska. We'll squeeze you in before the break, Frenchie. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you. You're going to love this one. Okay. You know, you've had conversations or prayers or whatever, and they've been manifested in the fields. Now, my thought is if you take a notebook or a ream of paper and put it within one of the crop circles that's manifested, okay, and ask for clarity and understanding and see what happens if it doesn't be filled up with the information or, you know, of the meaning and purpose of these crop circles and stuff, you know. Or if you ask like an idiot savant, like a Rain Man type person for the understanding or to be able to interpret these crop circles, or you could ask for your own ability to interpret or translate these crop circles into something you can understand the meaning and understanding or purpose of these things. What do you think about that one?
I think they're great ideas. We have tried a little part of what you where you're going with that. We have, I think, basically would be fair to say dabbled with it. There's not been, as far as I know, a fully scientifically constructed objective experiment of the kind that you are talking about. We have dabbled with manufacturing certain geometries with the help of people who know to do it, and which have encoded information which is basically saying what you have said, that if you decode the ASCII to say, you know, give us more information, are we on the right track or whatever, you know, you can, of course, place many questions there to see whether responses would come in the fields. There was a situation where my colleague, Paul Anderson in Great Britain, with a whole team, I was actually had to be somewhere else, I think in Australia at the time, put together a team and placed a design in the field with a certain key part of the design deliberately left out of it. These were mathematical equations that might be understood by another species or indeed by a human being remotely viewing it.
All right, Colin, stay with us. Hold on. We're going to come back. We're going to take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're talking to Brother Guy Consolmagno from the Vatican about what they know about things in space. Make sure you're part of that Coast to Coast show. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll take final phone calls with Colin Andrews right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Colin Andrews. We're going to take your final calls. Colin, our friend Michio Kaku and also Richard Taylor have both talked about the possibility that those 80% that you talk about might be done with microwaves from people. If that's the case, that's a pretty sophisticated hoax, isn't it?
It is, but I have to say, whilst I respect both of those gentlemen, I've actually kind of followed some of their work for a number of years, I hold absolutely no, I give that no credence whatsoever. I mean, can you imagine I mean, first of all, just to say that I am very conversant with some of the people that are making these circles, and I can assure you that that is not what's involved with most that I'm aware of, all of that I'm aware of. I mean, can you imagine microwave transmitters, you know, on the end of extension leads, etc., across a field in the middle of nowhere at night, you know, and kind of dropping these plants with microwave beams? I was amazed to hear that that was being put forward. But what comes out of it with some value is that microwave itself is quite possibly from a number of other scientists involved in the construction of the real thing. I mean, but we're not talking about people going out with microwave transmitters and pushing these plants over. I don't hold that. I don't see that at all, George.
Okay, let's go to final calls. Benjamin in Reno, Nevada. Go ahead, Benjamin. You're up with us.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I heard that the genetic structure of the plants in the crop circles was changed, and they really never saw such a genetic structure before. Do you have any conclusions, or are you familiar with that?
I'm very familiar with it. The work of BLT, Dr. Levengood, or Mr. Levengood, I'm sorry, in particular. It would be a whole new show for us to go into that, but my brief comment is that I think that some of these results really do need to be reworked, that there are changes, but they're not as profound or so consistent, and that some of those that have been made by people have also been blind controls have been placed in the same hands of those scientists and have come out as looking to be genuine. So I don't think it's as solid as we would like it to be, but they certainly claimed that there were changes at the cellular anatomic level in the plants in the real crop circles. But there's a bigger story, and probably not for tonight.
Okay, thanks, Benjamin. Appreciate that. The Mayans, of course, let's talk about that for just a second again, this 2012 event that's coming up. Tied in directly to these crop formations, do you think? And if that's the case, it's been building up for these 30 years, hasn't it?
Yes, it's all been heading in the same direction. From basically they gave us A, which was a simple circle, B was 2, C was 3, 4, they crossed them, 5 was the Celtic cross, and you run on down through as they evolved. And then from just what was an area of flattened plants, which later, of course, is bread for us that we eat, from a simple circle, as the Bible says, you know, in the beginning, there was a simple single circle. And from that is evolved patterns that give us specific information, have even given us a specific date in 2033, and have shown us mathematically that chaos is on the doorstep. I think looking at events outside, as we've said, confirm that indeed that is what's happening. 2012 is already happening. It's a date. Date specific is only the fact that that is the bottom of the cycle, or that is the end of the cycle. But it's a progression from one series of events to another. And I think the Mayan hit it right on the nose.
Let's go to Brian in Toronto, Canada. Hey, Brian, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Brian, I wanted to. It was amazing that you brought up the story of the synchronicity of your buying the tape recorder right before the voice broke through on the TV. Was it that you were recording when it broke through?
It was exactly that. Yes. Good evening, Brian. Yeah, what happened was literally I slid the microphone across the floor with only the intention of checking the valve, you know, the little green light they had with those old-fashioned tape recorders to see whether it was recording okay. It was brand new out of the box. And I had already clicked the two levers over to record, and I was listening pretty background to the news in the background and recording everything that happened. And what happened was that followed was over a 7-minute period was this electrostatic voice which, as I say, is on the DVD, Conscious Circles. And there have since been three government investigations by the appropriate authorities, the IBA, the Independent Broadcasting Authority in Great Britain, into all of the circumstances surrounding that. And it is to this day a complete mystery as to how that could have happened.
I think it's plain that it happened because you were there to record it and you were the type of attention that would go on to give good attention to the crop circles. The thing is, I wanted to ask you, were you aware that the one time the X-Files brought up synchronicity, it was in a way that suggested it was, sorry, the one time the X-Files brought up crop circles, it was in a way that suggested it was related to synchronicity. And regarding the question of how, why it is that the message is so hard to decode, I think it is that the message is the fact that the content of the crop circles and the themes that are used, the skills we use to analyze the crop circles are the same ones that used to be known as the quadrivium. It's astronomy, mathematics, music, and geometry, that those are kind of the major content. That used to be the basic curriculum for a humanistic education back in the day when they spoke the language that they used at other times. They wrote Oponos Astos.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I'm with you, Brian. I think that was, that's what you just said there was interesting and right on. I would go exactly with what you've said.
What are some of the things that they found with the wheat, Colin, the wheat that was knocked down in these formations?
Well, you know, a lot is said about this, but I think it's very minimal, to be honest with you, George. There's really only been two or three, scientific investigations into the plants. BLT we've mentioned, and Mr. Levengood's work. I also had, before he got involved with this, a number of two universities in Great Britain look at it. They really couldn't find anything that really, really stood out in any significant way. I think I should just hand any real deep comments on the plant analysis to the people directly involved in it, because, you know, I was involved with some blind testing and was very unimpressed with what came back. And I don't want to be unkind, because I know the amount of effort that goes into all of this. So I don't want to be, negative, but I don't think we have discovered very much that is helpful. And to be honest with you, even if we did, I think the answer to this is staring us right in the face. I think that all of the evidence points towards, you could put it briefly, bluntly, it's a message. And the message is that we ourselves must engage certain emotional electrochemical effects in our body, which we pass on through our DNA to our children in the future. We're talking about changing our behavior as a response to emotional reactions to our environment that will be passed on down through the chains for the future. So we are the same. We are a switch for tomorrow. And we're being engaged to look at each part of this mechanism. And it is only by engaging in these geometries, which it is true that Brian was saying about music. You see, it's an emotional element. It's emotional input. And these two can be played in music. You're looking at ratios, consistent ratios here that can be played as music. So you can look at them, you have frequency and color, you have every aspect of science at being at work here. And then when our minds are being prompted from an external higher force, another intelligence, what more could we ask for? If everything is waiting, it seems that it's all on standby as our ecosystem and our own systems are decoupling and coming apart. Everything's waiting for us to engage and really truly know who we are. I mean, why is it that we're allowing this small percentage, this 1% of humanity, to bring 99% of us to a standstill? This has got to change.
Sure does. Let's go to Hollywood, California. Jerry's turn. Jerry, good morning.
Well, hi, George.
Hey. How
are you? Hello?
Yep. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi. Did you call in?
Hello, Jerry.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, you're right about that, because the 1% of the 90%, see, those crop circles are telling Great Britain, okay, not to join the Eurozone, otherwise they will be enslaved by the monetary system, by the greedy bankers, okay, so that may be one of the points. But I had an observation about the crop circles, and I'm thinking, you know, the first crop circles that were made were very very simple in their format, right?
Yes.
And over a period of time, I have a book that has a chronological order, and they got more complicated. Which kind of logically tells me that the people that are involved in this, you know, they're practicing and they're developing a better technique as they go, you know.
Right.
Because if you're an extraterrestrial and you're coming from another dimension, I'm pretty sure you're not worried about, you know, dropping a crop circle from a zero to then these elaborate, you know, like M.C. Escher type of patterns and metamorphosis,
right,
and stuff, you know, right? So, and I that's a question I wanted to ask you, if you should put any logic in that. So, thank you.
No, I think you've made the statement, Jerry. I think, I'm with you. I'm sure that, I think you're in line with the thinking and the right kind of thinking. And as to the Eurozone, that this is a very, very major situation that's taking place over there. I mean, as again the Maya said that those super empires, the great empires of the day, will be falling and new ones will take their place. Not hard to see when the British situation, of course, the British Empire is well behind it. Its prominent place in the European Union is now tremendously in jeopardy as a result of them pulling out the euro. New agreements just 2 days ago. Goodness knows where it's going to find itself. It's in tremendous debt, as is the United States. So two superpowers from the past are certainly falling apart. So there we go again. I would just say very quickly, George, if I may, I know we're heading towards the end here. If I may, just to say that, you know, everything that we've talked about tonight and more with detail, I can strongly recommend it. It is a first. It's going to be in-depth. I am looking forward to it, the workshops in April in particular. For anybody that would want to be part of that, it's going to be available worldwide on the webinar as well. But for those who want to be there and to participate, and we're going to look at every aspect of this, all the raw data is going to be there. So, you know, by all means, please check in on my website if anybody would like to be part of that process.
Okay, next up, we go to Peter in Santa Clarita, California. Peter, go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you, first of all, for picking me up here. So my question is this. Have you guys ever actually spun crop circles at high rates of speed? Because I was doing that with a friend of mine earlier in the week, and there's different messages that you see at different speeds.
Yes, we have looked at it, Peter, not to the extent. We had an earlier caller referring to The Gift, the book The Gift by Doug Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
There's an airline pilot who got interested in it. So we are conversant with that. And as you say, as it's the Hans Jenning rotated, really. Hans Jenning looking at frequency. And we're looking at a 2D image of a crop circle, then rotated to give it kind of a multidimensional.
That's exactly what it was. And,
yeah, very interesting. It is very interesting. But I don't know at the moment that I could give you anything, an amazing development that has come out of that.
Well, I did find it very interesting that, especially the ones that utilize sacred geometry that were very intricate and fractal in nature, just looking alone at it, when spun at different rates of speed, gave off different animated patterns. And you could tell that a certain speed would resonate with a better image, a clearer and more concise symbol.
Yeah, you have hit upon a very important point there. That is probably the most significant development with the rotation of them. The fact that what it does do is it really hones in on one particular design, which has come through. We haven't had a chance to mention it tonight or talk about it, is the Flower of Life design. This particular design is one that seems to be transmitted by mind process very much more fluently too. It was the one we've referred to that the meditated by one group and picked up and made by a circle maker. I won't have time to tell you the story of on exactly the same geometry applied by other people. But the Flower of Life, of course, is a sacred, is the oldest geometry that we are aware of and recorded and in fact, burnt into granite in Egypt in a mystery it is of itself. And yet that, too, has appeared in the fields of southern England. So I think you make a very good point there, Peter, that that's the one when rotated tends to give us some very interesting visual effects.
What was your quick reaction, Colin, to the White House basically saying no credible evidence exists about ETs visiting the planet?
I was, who gets shocked at anything anymore? I thought it was terrible. An opportunity to come clean, an opportunity to at least to open a door, and frankly, I'm going to use the term, I know it's frowned upon, this word lying, but when you have your own officials, speaking off the record, when you have your own military talking about nuclear missile silos being closed down when there's UFOs over the base, and then we are told from the White House there's no credible evidence of that the extraterrestrials are here on planet Earth, I use the word lie. And that, I'm afraid, is what it is. I know that doesn't help engage conversation, but if that's where we are today, then change is coming, as we keep being told. But it's not the kind of change these guys are thinking about. Well, we got to, no. I was very unimpressed, George.
It is what it is. Colin, thank you so much for being on the program. Colin Andrews, his website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, my friend. Always good to talk to you. For David Bujinski, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.